Okay, there we go. Okay, let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. 1 Chronicles 25. Moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals, and their number of those who performed their service was, of the sons of Asaph, Zachar, Joseph, Nethaniah, and Asherelah. Of the sons of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Matthiah, six under the direction of their father Jeduthun with the harp, who prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mathaniah, Uziel, Shebuel, and Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanina, Eliath, Gidalti, and Romanti, Ezer, Josh, Kibasha, Malathi, Hothir, Mazaziah. These were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, to exalt him according to the words of God. For God gave 14 sons and 3 daughters to Heman. All these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres. For the service of the house of God, Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman were under the direction of the king. And their number who were trained in singing to the Lord with their relatives, all who were skillful, was 288. And they cast lots for their duties, all alike, the small as well as the great, the teacher as well as the pupil. Now the first lot came out for Asaph to Joseph, the second for Gedaliah, he with his relatives and sons were 12. The third to Zachar, his sons and his relatives, 12. The fourth to Isri, his sons and his relatives, 12. The fifth to Nethaniah, his sons and relatives, 12. The sixth to Bukiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The seventh to Jeshurelah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The eighth to Jeshiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The ninth to Mattaniah, his sons and his relatives, 12. The tenth to Shimei, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 11th to Azarel, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 12th to Hashabiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 13th, Shubael, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 14th, Mattathiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 15th, to Jeremoth, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 16th, to Hananiah, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 17th, to Josh Bekasha, his sons and his relatives, 12. For the 18th, to Hanani, his sons and his relatives, 12. The 19th, to Malathi, his sons and his relatives, 12. To the 20th, to Eliathath, his sons and relatives, 12. To the 21st, to Hothir, his sons and relatives, 12. For the 22nd, to Gedalti, his sons and relatives, 12. For the 23rd, to Mazaziah, his sons and relatives, 12. And the 24th, to Romanti Ezer, his sons and his relatives, 12. Amen. All right, what's going on here? So you go from, so remember God, this is David is putting things in order for his son Solomon. And so remember a couple of chapters before, he's getting together all of the temple, all the parts of the temple, the wood, the iron, the gold, the silver. And so that's done. The preparation for the temple is done. But now David is preparing the temple for not just the outside edifice, but for actually what's going to go on inside. So he orders the Levites, and now he also orders also part of the Levitical service, which now dealt with the musicians and the worship. Because remember, the house of David was going to be a house of perpetual worship. And if you think about the prayer movements that are going on now, you know, with IHOP, that's not the International House of Pancakes, it's the International House of Prayer. With IHOP and a lot of these prayer movements, they actually have modeled that upon David and towards more towards his latter ministry of what he's setting up here. And so it's important that the priests came and serve the Lord in terms of the sacrifices and all those things, but also for David, because he was a man of worship, it was important that they also kept in order the musicians and the worshipers that were there. So there are three primary commanders of this army, and it's interesting. You don't really consider these guys to be warriors. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you if you go, I'm drawing on stereotypes now, so you have to forgive me. But most musicians, forgive me, all musicians are here today, you don't really see them as some kind of warriors. It'd be like if you go to like college football, sorry, all the musicians are looking at me very funny right now. But like college football, you have the football players and you have the band. You know what I mean? The football guys go on the field and they do their stuff, and then the band sit in the stands and play the music. But you don't realize that they both play a very important role. And in the sense that the football players play well when the musicians rouse up the crowd. They get the crowd going. It's, you know, the cheerleaders, the same deal, even though they may not be seen as part of the army. But look what he says in verse 1. Moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for this service some of the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, who were to prophesy, how? With lyres, harps, and cymbals. And so even when we talk about, think about prophecy, you know, it's more like one person standing in front of somebody else, usually laying their hands on, and then telling them the things that are on God's heart. But notice how David really puts these things in order. Now, first of all, these were soldiers, so they were doing warfare. But the isn't it interesting, Paul later talked about, but the weapons of the warfare are not of this world, or the passage is not carnal, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And so we see, as you see this, that they're doing warfare and they're prophesying, not using words. Well, I mean, they will use words partly, but using primarily their instruments. And so that's kind of an interesting way to look at worship for a little bit. And so there's three commanders, three soldiers here, or three leaders, and there were Asaph. Now, you would have heard about Asaph because he wrote a whole bunch of psalms. And so this is the Psalm of Asaph. You'll see that written throughout. So Asaph was primarily one of King David's private seers, or his prophets in that way, as well as Gad. There's some other ones throughout. But these were the people that David would go talk to his commanders about army, and then he would consult the seers. He would consult the prophetic people about what to do and what God was doing. And then there was also Heman and also Jeduthun. And these three were quite skilled musicians. And so they were specifically set apart to do warfare, but in a very different way than we think. Not with their hands and fists and swords, but actually with their instruments and their voices. And it's quite a beautiful thing. So we see that division laid out. And each of these guys, they played a specific function that made up this whole idea of temple worship in that way. So the first one was Asaph. And Asaph had a couple sons. And Asaph, basically, it says in verse 2, it says, who prophesied under the direction of the king. So Asaph, his primary role was kind of a typical prophecy that we see. He was there, I mean, played music, but he basically said, thus saith the Lord, you know, kind of very typical thing that we would see. The other guy, now Jeduthun, was a little different, and he had six sons, so he had a little bit more than Asaph. And so what he would do is, if you look at verse 3, he prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord. And his chosen instrument was the harp. And so his prophecy, the way he would prophesy, was basically what we would typically call praise and worship. So when we see praise and worship that we see now, that's primarily the ministry of Jeduthun that we see. Okay, so Asaph, typical, I mean, with music, but typical, thus saith the Lord, typical prophecy. With Jeduthun, now, praise and worship. That was his deal. And then the sons of Heman, now, this guy was really blessed, right? He had 14 kids, so he's a pretty busy guy. So, verse 5, what his job was, all the sons of Heman, the king's seer, to exalt him according to the words of God. For God gave 14 sons and 3 daughters, actually 17 kids. And so his job was to take the scripture and bring it, give it back to the Lord. And so this idea of praying and singing scripture, And we see this a lot. In fact, some of my most favorite songs, worship songs, are actually just simple reciting of scripture back. One of my favorite, now you can't really say secular songs, but from, I guess, not non-worship team, is actually a song by U2. And I don't know if you, this is way, way back. This is like Under a Blood Red Sky. I mean, this is the 80s stuff. But they have a song called 40. And if you know the song, it's actually Psalm 40. And I waited patiently for the Lord, and time you heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. So I will sing to him a new song. And that basically Bono got the inspiration from Psalm 40. And there's something very powerful from just basically just singing the scriptures. And that was Heman's kind of like forte. And so we see these different avenues of worship that was happening in the temple, very well-rounded, you can see. That each of these guys, and you see why they were these three particular leaders, the soldiers, were chosen. And then the beauty of it is what they did is the guy taught their sons basically to be like him. And so all of Asaph's guys were like, you know, Jeduthun's guys were really good at the harp. And so they would teach, and he would just basically transfer his generational blessing to his sons. You know, so much so that now it's a perpetual worship that's happening in the temple that will happen through generations, because they're continually passing this torch down onto these guys. And it's pretty amazing. And it gives you a kind of an idea about what God wants during worship. And so it's important that in a worship service or a worship set, that there is prophecy happening, that there is praise and worship happening. There's also the scriptures that are happening, all under the banner of worship. And interesting enough, also using this, the Chronicles context, the way Ezra's writing, actually also talking about prophecy. That prophecy is typical prophecy that we see. Also, prophecy is praise and worship. I think a lot of times we don't really think that. You know, we don't really think that, oh, I'm singing this song, you know, Jesus, I love you, or something like that. And that's actually prophecy. And prophecy just simply meaning just words, right? They're flowing out of God's heart and out of God's mind that we elaborate with our own speech in that way. And then exalting him according to the words of God. And what a beautiful way, you know, to lay this all out. And then, again, they cast lots because they don't want people to get jealous. And so they're basically, these sons are been giving allotments of time to worship in the temple. And 288, these were all skillful musicians, skillful in prophecy, skillful in worshiping the Lord. And they lay it all. Now, it's interesting that they all turn out to be families of 12. Now, I don't know if that's just a coincidence or they eliminated some guys, but it's just crazy how this works out. They're just 12 all the way across the board. And so, you know, I don't know if that was just a by God's design or whatever the case may be. It just worked out perfectly in terms of their numbers. And so I want to talk just about worship just for the next 5 minutes or so before we get into the place of prayer. But it's interesting. The primary New Testament word for worship that you see in the New Testament is the word proskuneo. Proskuneo, simply, it translated means to bow down. And so, you know, pros, you know, before, and to lay low, basically. And so it's this place of humility and the kind of stuff. But actually, if you look at the etymology of the word, it's got actually a deeper meaning in that regard. And worship, proskuneo, is really the picture of, you know, kuon is, remember, the name for dog. And so, but like it's a nice term for dog, right? It's like cute puppy, you know, kind of stuff. And so when you take the root of that word, what it literally means, worship, the idea of bowing down, It's the imagery, the etymology of the word, it's like it's a dog licking the master's hand. And so it's like this little puppy that's obviously in adoration, but willing and ready to do the master's will. And so the word worship literally means it's a dog, a subservient dog that's prostrate, that's kneeling down, but really licking the master's hand. And that's the idea of that word and what the Greek authors drew from that context. It's a familial animal. It's a dog, man's best friend, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's the affection of him licking it. I don't know if you've ever had dogs before. You know, I had a few dogs. And when they really like you, they come and they lick the living daylights out of you. That's their thing of I like you. You know, I mean, you know, you can just bark, that'd be fine. But yeah, that's what dogs do. And it's affectionate. It's a term of their affection in that way. But it's also that they're ready to do whatever the master says. So you can imagine the hand, the master, he's looking at the hand, the master goes like this, and the dog goes like that. It's really simple. You know, Pastor Brian was you know, spent 10 days with us, and he was at our house. I know we had 8 kids in our home; it was crazy. But and so he spent 3 months in New Zealand, and when he was there, they went out to a sheep farm because, you know, in New Zealand, just all they have is sheep. And so and one of the shepherds was teaching him and his kids. They were going through this stuff. And they were actually teaching them about dogs. And he's got this great illustration. If you listen to Echo Sermons, it'll come to a sermon near you, trust me. And so he was saying that there were two different dogs that they breed. One dog barks. And this dog is the one that just basically just puts all the sheep in order. And he's just barking all the time. He's kind of wild. But he says, but that's one dog. But there's another dog. And there's a lot of those barking dogs. But there's one dog. And this dog is like the chief shepherd in the whole thing. And this dog actually never barks. And all this dog does, and he was watching, all this dog does is his eyes are always on the shepherd. No matter what he's doing, this dog, he's fixated on the shepherd. And the shepherd motions his hand or does something, and the dog knows, and he does it. And he commands the sheep, this dog does, simply with his eyes. He doesn't bark. He says it's the most amazing thing he's ever seen. And the shepherd, the human shepherd would say, watch this. And he would do stuff, and he would just wave his hands at things, and the dog the whole time, all he's doing is he's looking at the shepherd, ready to do whatever the shepherd asks for him to do. And so then he just, you know, does this, and the dog goes about, and he just simply with his eyes, all the sheep know who the boss is. And then he leads, basically, the sheep. And, you know, so we had, like, you know, we had all kinds of connections. You know, we're talking about this, what pastoral ministry is. You know, as a pastor, my eyes just need to be on the shepherd, the chief shepherd. You know, and then that's how we lead the flock. I mean, we're going like an hour, because that's what pastors do, right? We spiritualize everything. And so we're going through all these different things. But it was amazing, this idea. And then I was sharing with Pastor Brian. I says, actually, that's exactly what worship means. Is, you know, this the word that I just shared with you guys in that way. It's the dog licking the master's hand, ready to do their will. And you realize, wow, that's really the heart of worship. Worship is not simply us coming to the service and just singing songs to the Lord. It's prophecy. It's scripture. It's all these things. But part of worship, which is probably the most important, is what we do when we leave church. It's kind of what we do when the music stops. In other words, we're always supposed to worship. And now it's supposed to be laid out in obedience. And that's to me, that's one of the most powerful things about worship. For me personally, that's primarily when God speaks to me the most. And it's usually very directive. And it's usually very convicting. You know, it's like, hey, I think you should go maybe talk to somebody and apologize for what you just said, you know, or I think you should, you know, do this and do that. And just it's because we're in that the presence of the Lord in that way. And that heart and that willingness to just do whatever the Father asks us. That our eyes are so fixated on the great shepherd because he leads us and he feeds us. And that's where the conviction comes, and you realize, oh yeah, you know, I probably should go talk to this person, or you know, I need to be nicer to my wife, you know, or whatever the case may be. You know, oh, maybe you need to go to this place and take care of this or whatever. But we realize that when we come into the presence of the Lord, that God is very directive. And so let's close our eyes. All right, isn't it great that David is really setting order to his house for his son Solomon? And isn't it great we get to, in the house of God this morning, sing, prophesy, give thanks, praise the Lord. Abby is going to lead us, and let our eyes be fixed on the great shepherd. Not just in that place of adoration, which is very important, but also in that place of service. Lord, I'm ready to do your will.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. We are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. We are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how.
So let's continue to worship the Lord by responding to Him. Let's continue to sing praise. Let's continue to prophesy. Let's continue to be minded of the Scriptures. And just offer that back to the Lord in that way. And the whole time, always being ready to do His will. Let's be that puppy licking the master's hand. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray on. Let's pray over our community that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing, and let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community looking for work, and let's pray for God's open doors and His provision. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for China this morning. Let's lift up our church, SP Beijing. I pray for Pastor Hyunsu. Everything's going on. Their retreat is coming up next weekend, and so let's ask God's hand to be upon them. Let's pray for SP Shanghai, a church plant that's starting. Pray for Pastor Ricky. This is his last Sunday, and then his family is moving on Wednesday. And so let's just pray for all the last-minute preparations and things that they need to get done. Pray for the community there in Shanghai would grow, and that really would be a great start for ministry. Let's lift up the Chung family and also Matt and Nate's parents and the churches. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit to breathe his life over this nation. Let's pray for our board, and let's ask God for his wisdom to be upon this group of men and women, that Holy Spirit would be leading our decision-making processes, and that we would really be wise in the things that we do. Particularly if you could pray for Yiling, she's stepping in as a secretary as Monica is on her maternity leave. Let's just lift up our members and our families here. Let's cover our fellowship ministries, our men's and women's and young adults. So Yahweh Eats for the men, the prayer meeting, the men's fraternity and the Conqueror series. For women's, for Lift, let's just ask God to really unite men and women together, and we would grow before the Lord, and the young adults would really connect with one another and with the Lord. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for a building, the resources, continue to lift up our vision fund. Pray for a benefactor and continue to pray for the third floor renovations. They should be done next week. And so probably in 2 weeks' time, we'll be able to move in. And so let's just pray for all the last-minute decisions and things that need to be done on those renovations. Let's pray for house shares tonight. Blue Pool, Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Island, Lido, Line Rock, and New Conduit and TST. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to be leading our meetings tonight. The leaders and our hosts would be so anointed, and people would really connect with the Father and then connect with one another. And lastly, let's just pray for upcoming events. Let's pray for our parenting seminar this weekend. Pastors Eric and Sarah and family came in safely last night. Pray that they would adjust well to the time difference and really be used powerfully throughout this weekend. And let's also pray for our retreat. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to be leading and guiding. Pray that there be no illnesses, last-minute illnesses or business plans, that everyone that signed up be able to go and we'll be really ready to receive what the Lord has for us. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank you, God, so much. Thank you for the gift of worship, God. Lord, that you give us the opportunity, the privilege, Lord, of lifting you higher. Praise and worship, thanksgiving, God, that we can sing your scriptures, Lord. We can tell you about what you wrote to us and what you said to us, and we can minister to one another, God. But Lord, I pray that worship wouldn't stop when the music stops, Lord. Yeah, that worship would carry on throughout our lives and that we would be so ready to do your will. God, we just want to be that dog licking the master's hand, ready to do your will. So lead us and guide us, Lord. Watch over us today, God, as we do your will today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.